Hey, Pastor Matthew here. Thank you for choosing to connect with us today. We love the fact that you're using this message to help you learn more and grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. However, we don't want you to let this message or any other online resource replace you being a part of the local church. If you don't have a local church, then let me invite you to be a part of what God is doing here in New Community Church. We pray this message will help you advance the gospel and grow God's kingdom. All right, good morning, guys. It is so good to see you. I'm so happy to be here in the house today. As you can tell, my voice is a little scratchy. Not only have I battled being sick over Christmas, but something has happened to my voice and all of my sinuses as well. And so I'm glad to be here. Forgive me my voice. Pray for me that it will stay with us during this time. I really believe that the Lord has a good word for us. How many of you need a good word this morning? You know, one of the things that I look at and I think through when we look at this first Sunday of the new year, and really the significance of this Sunday is so much greater than we can even put our minds around it just initially, is not only does it help set the tone for the year, but one of the things that's so interesting about this Sunday is that it also sets the tone in how we finish this decade. And one of the things I'm excited about for each of you is that you chose, regardless of what you've been dealing with or haven't been dealing with and all the frustrations and excitement and struggles, is that you were going to start this year well and you were going to end this decade well. And I don't know if you knew that exactly when you came in this morning, but I want you to know that I am thankful that you are where you are, because it shows me a lot about what you are desiring for God to do in your life this year. One of the things that I think is interesting, I've been thinking a lot about this lately, really, and as it relates to just my family and your families and just us as a church together, is that I know that in each of our hearts, we have a place that we all want to end up. In each of our hearts, we have a hope that we have for our family. And in each of our hearts, we have a hope that we want for our church. And one of the things that I know to be true, just as it relates to what God's word teaches us, is that at every time we are moving in a direction, we have to take certain steps. Right? And one of the things that I just want you to understand is the steps we take truly determine the direction we go. The steps we take determine the direction we go. And sometimes we take those steps and we're excited about those steps. And sometimes we take those steps and we're unsure of those steps. And sometimes we take those steps and it doesn't make any sense, but we're excited and we know this is the right step we need to take. Let me tell you a little story about taking the right steps. This is what I know to be true. If we want to end up where we want to end up, we're going to have to take the right steps. We're going to have to take the first step. We're going to have to take the best steps for us as a church and as a family moving forward. Here's what I experienced over the Christmas holiday and break. A dear friend of our family in the church gave Max and me, they gave it to me, but it's Max and me, because not just for me, but it was a little Lego figurine. It was a Florida Gator football Lego figurine puzzle, okay? And it was a little thing about that tall. And it looked really easy. It was awesome. I was excited. It was a fun gift to get. And I thought, man, Max and I are going to have a great time putting this little figurine puzzle together. What greater way, what greater gift than to give me something I can do with my kid? And so we sat down at the table. He was excited. Now, the Legos were a little bit different because it was like micro mini Legos, not like the normal regular Legos, right? And so I had these little micro mini Legos, and I was trying to put this thing together with Max. Again, we were looking at the picture on the cover of the box. You guys know what I'm saying? When you're putting a puzzle together, you always look at the picture, because when you look at the picture, it gives you kind of an understanding of what it is that you're trying to build, what you're trying to put together. And Max and I were looking at this little picture, and it was a really simple picture. It looked really easy, and I mean, the figurine wasn't big at all. It didn't have that many pieces of Legos, but here's the reality that we found to be true, is that we were looking at a picture, trying to put together something that looked easy, but the truth of the matter was, it wasn't coming out exactly what the picture said it was going to come. The Lego figurine that we were working so hard on wasn't exactly becoming the picture on the box. Max finally got frustrated at me, and he said, "Dad, can we just look at the instructions? Can we just look at the instructions?" And I said, "Fine." And I went back and we looked at instruction number one. And as soon as we began to walk through the instructions, the very figurine that looked good but didn't look quite right became everything that the box said it would. Here's what I need you to understand, okay? Is if we want to become, if we want our figurine to become everything that God has created and desired and destined us to be, then we're going to have to take some right steps given to us in our instruction manual, in our playbook, if you will, so that we can become everything that God has in store for us. What Max and I did on our own didn't look terrible. It just wasn't right. And it wasn't until, I just need to say this one more time, it wasn't until we went back to the instruction manual and took the right steps that our figurine was able to come out how it was supposed to. This is the word that I have for us for 2019 going in. Some of us have looked at God's word and we have come up with a picture of what we think we need to look like and everything that God has in store for us. And we've been working to become the picture that we have seen on our own. And we're frustrated because we aren't exactly what we had hoped the picture would ultimately be. We have a good picture of who we want to be. We have a great picture of what God is saying for us to become and be. And we've been working hard, hard on our own with friends and family that we love, our children that we love and we adore. And we're excited to be able to do these things. And we're looking at ourselves and saying, we've come out okay, but we know that we're still not who we need to be. And God and his word to me over the last couple weeks, and I just wanted to bring it to us, is that we can become everything that God has in store for us. We can learn everything that God wants us to learn and that he's working to teach. We can become who God created us to be. We can experience everything that God is doing in our midst. God is not holding anything back from us in 2019. Yet, if we're going to receive it all, we have to follow, listen, the instructions. We're going to have to take it step by step. And I can't imagine, and I don't think that there's any other greater Sunday than to go back to step one, than the first Sunday of the new year. And so what I want us to do today is I want us to spend some time in God's word looking at what is the step that we're supposed to take. What's the step that we as a church have to take? What's the step that you individually has to take? What's the step that you and your family have to take if we all want to realize and become the people that God intended? Are you guys ready to do that? Let's look to God's word together and then we will. Let me pray for us and then we will look to God's word. Lord, you're so good, you're gracious. And God, even in this time, Lord, that my voice is weak, Lord, and to some degree, my spirit is very heavy and weak as well. Lord, I pray that your strength will be what's had, what's shown. Lord, I pray that your word will be what's heard. And God, I thank you that truly in your word, you lay out for us, not that everything's gonna be perfect, but that we can become everything that you desire. We can realize everything that you want us to accomplish. Father, intimacy with you is a possibility. But Father, it comes as a result of being obedient to your plan. And so God, I pray that you would help us to be obedient this morning, not only to know our first step, but Father, that we would take it together. And as a result, we would leave this place confident of what you're desiring to do and what we can experience in 2019. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Move in this place. Moving our lives. Father, move in our midst right now so that as we leave here today, we would know that not only did we come and we get to sing incredible songs led by an incredible band, but Father, we have heard the living word of yours that changes us into everything that you created us to be. We love you. We lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to look again at the first step that that I believe that God is calling us to walk in this new year. And specifically, not only this new year, but it's a step that we all have to take at every situation and juncture of our lives. Because the truth of the matter is, every single day is a new opportunity to lean into God's plan. Every single moment is a new opportunity that God has given us to lean into everything that God has for us. Every single monumental occasion is an opportunity for us to lean into everything that God has and desires and wants to show us as a people. And so I want us to look at this step because I believe that it's going to truly change our lives the more often we take our first step. Now, here we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. As you're turning there in your Bibles or your electronic Bible equivalent, let me go ahead and just kind of walk us through what God is doing, what Matthew is writing about, and ultimately what Jesus is saying and doing in his people. Okay, in Matthew chapter 6, and this whole book of Matthew is really written for the sole purpose to help Jewish Christians. Okay, not only were there a lot of Christians, Jewish Christians living in Jerusalem, but there was a lot of fractions that began to take place because what we see anytime there's a group of people is a lot of different people going to have a lot of different wishes, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different wants, a lot of different hopes. And some people are going to run in one direction, some people want to go in another direction, and some people are going to want to go in another direction all entirely. And the more people you get together, the more chaos and confusion and frustration it can be. And so what we see in Matthew is that in Jerusalem at this time, there's a lot of different sects of people, okay? There's Philistines, there's Pharisees, there's Sadducees, there's all sorts of people gathering in Jerusalem. Now, one of the things that's interesting is that as these different people gather and all these different people are saying different things, is Matthew is writing so that he can help the Jewish Christians called the Messianic Jews, because they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, to not only believe that Jesus is the Christ, but to be grounded in the truth that Jesus is the Messiah of the Christ. Because here's the deal. The more they spend time with their family, the more that they're hearing Jesus is not the dude. Jesus is not the guy. This is not what we thought. This is not what we had hoped. You know where Jesus came from. You remember about his mama. You know about his daddy. You know all these things. You know how gossip channels work. Because once somebody says some little small thing, somebody's going to try to all of a sudden make it into something way bigger. And all of a sudden, you got a snowball effect on your hand. All because someone can't keep their mouth shut. And what we see taking place in God's word is that you have a group of people and a lot of people, some people who like drama, and so they're starting to stir things up. Matthew's writing because he doesn't want the people that have placed their faith and trust in the Lord to lose sight of the decision that they made in their heart to make Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior in the midst of the people that they love telling them things that is not true and causing them to lose heart and hope. You follow what I'm saying? Matthew wants his people to know Jesus is the Messiah. His Jewish Christian people to know Jesus is the Messiah. And not only can they trust Jesus for right now, but they can hope in Jesus for what's to come. Now, again, not only are there difficulties among the Jewish people in Jerusalem, but the interesting thing is, as there's greater political unrest taking place, because here's the deal, you can't be a Christian and be silent. And the more these Jewish people begin to find faith in Jesus Christ, they begin to live that faith out in the community. They begin to share people that they love Jesus. And then although, yes, some people trust in chariots and some people trust in horses, they were always going to stake their claim and their hope in the Lord, their God. Right? And you can't be silent and put your faith and trust in Jesus. You can't be hopeful if your hope and faith is not in Jesus. And if our faith and trust is in Jesus, then it doesn't matter what comes around us. We can't lose the joy because Jesus Christ is the source of our joy. Not man, not a decision, not a frustration, not an unmet expectation, but Jesus Christ. And what we see in God's word right here is that Matthew is writing because he doesn't want them to lose the hope and the focus. Because their excitement and their joy about the future is not wrapped up in their things or their thoughts or their feelings, but in Jesus. And the people are getting excited about Jesus. The people are talking about Jesus. And now the Romans are pissed off. Not only are there other Jews, but the Romans. Because now things aren't going their way. Now things aren't happening how they want it to happen. And so trouble, frustration and anger begin to rise up in Jerusalem. And again, Matthew is writing to say, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of unmet expectations, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of excitement, in the midst of hope, Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Jesus. One of the stories that Matthew tells is a story of Jesus at quite possibly his finest moment, his finest hours. He's standing at this mountain. He's sharing with thousands and thousands of people. And he's pointing them in the direction of what it can look like when they begin to truly trust in him and not put their focus on everything else that's not him. And he begins to walk them through all these different things. You guys know the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. He walks them through the truth that they are the light of the world. They're the salt of the earth. That's the same way as Jesus saying, you're the sparkle in my eye. He's walking through all this. And he gets to an important part in the story. And he says, but I know, I believe that some of us are kind of halfway into believing this, but we're missing it as it comes to the application of living it out. And he walks with them and he talks with them about treasures in heaven and serving two masters. And he says to them, listen, if you want to experience everything that God has for us, then you're going to put your focus on Jesus. And because you can't focus on Jesus and focus on something else at the same time. Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. And then he tells us our word, our story for today. Are you guys seeing how this applies to where we are as a church? He says, therefore what? Therefore, you can't focus on Jesus and something else. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more about food and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Jesus is talking about simple things to talk about a complex issue. The truth of the matter is, there are a lot of things in life that we can worry about. And Jesus is beginning to talk to us about food and about ourselves, about our self-esteem, our ego, and materialism to illustrate his point. And here's his point that he wants to make. It's God gives and God provides for his. God gives and God provides for his. If God's going to take care of some birds in the air, then how much more is he going to take care of you? If you think the birds have it made, how much more does God want us to have it made as it relates to our relationship and the things that we need in our life to be successful and become everything that God has in store for us? And so Jesus then continues, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I think that's a great question. Can any of you add any moment of time to your life by being upset and frustrated and worrying? The obvious answer is no, but we do, don't we? We spend some time worrying. I worry. I worry about our church. I worry about my family. I worry, are there going to be ladies that come around my wife and love her? Are there going to be men step up and love and help support me? Is God going to provide for my family? Is God going to help my kids grow up and be loving, productive, God-fearing people in society? My dad worried. My dad, I'll never forget, the thing that he worried about the most at the end of his life was, would my kids remember him? And you know what? He worried and he worried, and he still died. It didn't add not one single moment, not one single hour to his life. I know many of you are worrying. You got things in your life that you don't understand, you're frustrated about. You're confused over. Some things have to deal with the church. Some things have to do with your family. Some things have to do with your spouse. Some things have to do with your work. Some things we just don't know. Sometimes we just like to let ourselves worry because we just, that's how we are. We look ahead and we've got this whole big, big old palette there that we can, what's going to happen, and we don't know. Some people just worry. And Jesus is looking to these people. And he's saying, look, I know there's a lot going on, but the one thing you don't have to do is worry. I know that there's a lot of turmoil and confusion. I know there's some chaos. I know there's some heartache and frustrations. And there's some things you can do, but the one thing you don't have to do is worry. Jesus says, don't worry. It's not going to help you out in the least little bit. And he continues, and I think this is interesting. He kind of builds his thought. And why do you worry about clothes? See, he's talking about simple things to talk about more complex issues. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So don't worry saying, why shall we eat, or why shall we drink, or why shall we wear? The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is saying, if you have faith in God, if you truly believe that God loves you, then you won't worry because you would know that God not only knows your needs, but is constantly providing for your needs. The Apostle Paul knew this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He says this, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. If God is always providing for our needs, then worrying about needs getting met indicates that we don't believe that God will always come through. If God is clear in his word, and we see over and over and over that God has been faithful, then our worry is a direct indicator of our heart's posture and what we really think about God. And he's saying to all of us right now, I don't know what's in your life that's causing you hurt, and I don't know what's in your life that's causing you pain. Jesus knows, I don't. But he's saying to all of you right now, I know where you're at. I know what you need. And listen, he's gonna provide for who's his. And you can trust that. You can take it to the bank. God has always been faithful. God has always come through. That's why we don't have to worry, because we see and we understand the faithfulness of God. God is faithful in giving us everything we need. So we have two choices in our life. Either we're going to trust God and his faithfulness, or we're not going to trust God. We're either going to trust him or we're not. We're either going to believe that what God has said is true or we're not. And truly in our life, it's just that simple. Are we gonna trust him or are we not? Are we gonna walk in his word or are we not? Are we gonna believe what he said or are we not? Are we gonna give our lives to what he has accomplished and what he said that we can do or are we not? Are we gonna live in 2019 like we know that we can make a difference because of the power of the Holy Spirit or are we not? Are we going to be confident moving into 2019 that the best is yet to come, or are we not? We're either going to trust God or we're not. We're either going to believe God or we're going to worry. But we don't have to worry because Jesus has proved his faithfulness. I was talking with a friend of mine. I didn't put this in my notes. I just think I'm going to add it in. Sometimes we trust people because we spend a lot of time with them. And sometimes we trust people just simply because we're going to choose to. Abraham looked to the Lord. And I think what's interesting about the story of Abraham is that God credited Abraham righteousness. He didn't deserve it. But he said, I'm going to give it to you anyways. And I just want to say this to you guys as a church. And I'm going to ask you this on my behalf. Some of you don't know me that well. We don't have a lot of history. Just as Abraham credited, or God credited Abraham righteousness, I'm just going to ask you, will you credit me some favor? Will you credit me some trust? I'm going to work it out on the backside. Not because I'm good, because God is. Not because I'm great, because I'm going to be prone to mess up. But God is faithful to his people. God has been faithful to our church. You know what I was thinking about our church in 2018? I think it's interesting. Just to show you a little bit about the faithfulness of God. Over 200 salvations, 110, actually 112 baptisms. Around 40 baby dedications. We grew about 50% in the size. God provided you guys with a pastor, which is me, but he also provided me with a church family. God came through on heart surgeries and scares of greater difficulty. God brought couples together in marriages. I feel like I've done more marriages this year than I don't know when. Truth is, 2018, some of y'all have some really jacked up marriages, didn't you? I know, because you came and talked to me about how crazy y'all are. But you know how faithful God is? Y'all are still together. Some of you came with some real life-threatening concerns. You're still here. God is still good. I don't know what you think about in 2018, but I'm going to tell you a story that I think about. I think about this bullet. It's 40 caliber. On December 16th, a man in our church came to me and he said to me, I've been leaning in to this church family. And he said, this year I was going to plan on giving my life to this bullet. But through this church, God has moved in me and worked in me. And I'm giving my life to the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, God is moving, church. It's not always fun when God moves. It's not always easy when God moves. It's not always exciting when God moves. But God is moving. And God is doing something new. And if God is moving, then let's not sit still. If I'm walking and you're not walking, then we're not together. If God is walking and we're not walking, then we're not together. Jesus, I believe, on this sermon, somewhere in northern Israel by the Sea of Galilee at what is now called the Mount of Beatitudes, when he was giving this initial original message. He was saying, I know there's some scary things. I know there's reason to worry. I know there's reason to be angry. I know there's reason to be confused. I know there's reason to also be excited. I know there's reason to be hopeful. I know there's reason for many different things, because all of us go into 2019. All of us go into different scenarios with different emotions on our heart. All of us go in with different seasons and scenarios feeling and thinking different things. We're not all on the same page as relates to emotions, but we can all be on the same page as it relates to the steps that we're taking. And Jesus says, I know we're all at different pages, but what he has in store for us, what he has planned for us, we can be on the same page with. We can still lean in together. Jesus says, don't worry. Keep it moving. And I love when he says that we can do that. He says, because I'm with you. Some of you may be fearful to take a step today. Some of you may be paralyzed. I know that sometimes when we get scared or paralyzed or worried, we just freeze up, don't we? Some of you may be worried to take that step of faith. Some of you may be excited and ready to take a step of faith. Jesus says, look, if you'll just seek first, what's the step that we need to take? What do we need to do together as a church family? How do we move together? How do we continue to walk the direction that God has for us? He just says this. There's always steps that we have to take. And the first step is to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, how do we do that? What does Jesus even mean? Jesus, first of all, the kingdom of God is the place that Jesus is ruling and reigning in the kingdom. And so what Jesus is saying to us is, if you'll just seek the place in you that I'm not reigning, that your thoughts are wandering, that you're worried, that you're fearful, if you'll seek that place, if you'll lean in to my kingdom where I reign, then I love what he says. He says, all the things that you've been hoping for, all the things that you need will be given to you as well. As well as what? As well as the birds, as well as the grass, as well as the flowers. As well as everything else that God is caring for, regardless of what you're thinking, regardless of what your mind is set on now, if you will just simply trust the Lord, if you'll just simply seek first his kingdom, everything you've been hoping for, everything you've been wishing for, everything you've been wanting for your life and your family and our church, Jesus says, I will give that to you as well. Jesus says, but you got to put first things first. How do we do that? He tells us in his word, it's the same section of the scripture. He says, you got to pray. And when you're praying, what does that look like? He says, well, one thing that you have to say is, your kingdom come. Talking to God. Why? Because we have such a history of allowing our thoughts to rule our minds. We have such an easy way of allowing our worst fears become realized in our thoughts. Some of us live out the worst case scenarios long before any scenario ever takes place. We just let our minds go there. And Jesus says, if you're sick of going to that place, if you're sick of becoming that less than supposed to figurine, then you're going to come to me. You're going to seek me, and you're going to pray for my kingdom, my rule, my reign to be realized in your life. And so this is what I want us to do together as a church. I want us to do that together. We're all in different places, but we can still seek the Lord together, can't we? Here's what I believe to be true more than anything that I have the strength to even say. We can become the people God has for us. You can become the person God created you to be. You can learn everything that God is wanting to teach. You can experience everything God is doing. But we have to put first things first and seek first the kingdom. And as we seek the kingdom, ask, beg, and plead that the kingdom, God's kingdom, be realized here on earth just as it is in heaven. Why don't you bow your heads? Lord, you just tell us in your word, I believe, that we can waste our life on things that don't matter. We can worry over things that you've provided for, or we can just trust you. And Lord, I believe that in your word, you've said to us, don't waste your life on something that doesn't matter. Don't waste your life over things that God has always provided for. But live your life pursuing God's kingdom. Lord, I believe that's the word you have for us. To pursue you, pursue your kingdom, pursue your will. And Lord, so for some of us, that's easier than others. But Lord, I'm confident that if we don't see and we don't realize that you're moving, Lord, it's because we haven't opened our eyes. We haven't opened our eyes. And so Lord, forgive us. And Lord, in this moment, will you open our eyes? Will you open our eyes, Lord? Would you flood into our lives? Lord, the places that we haven't given you, Lord, would you give us the strength and courage to give you that? The places in our lives that we don't trust you, Lord, would you help us to surrender that to you right now? The places that we're angry, Lord, would you help us to give that to you? Knowing that that's not your heart for us to be angry, but to trust you. Guys, I know there's a lot of things in our lives that we can be worried about. And the truth is, most of us, if we're really honest, all have something different that we're worried over. But the Lord says, don't worry. You're not going to get anything from it. But you can be confident that I'm right here by your side. You may get worried, but it's hard to stay worried when we know, when you know that God is with you. And as you're praying in your hearts and minds right now, I'm going to kind of walk us through just a couple things to pray for. What I'm just going to ask you to pray for our church and our leadership. One thing that is always true about leadership is that you'll never make everybody happy. Not everybody will always get on board. And that's what makes leadership hard. And I'm just going to ask you, will you pray for our leadership? Pray for our staff as a church. Our staff are tasked with the incredible opportunity of not only helping realize the vision that God has placed us, but they have the responsibility and sometimes real hard time and frustrations of even sometimes carrying that out. They field questions, they field frustrations. And we just pray for their strength. In any season of transition, it's hard. And I'm going to ask you, will you pray for the Strickland family right now? Would you pray for our church? Lord, we love you. We trust you. We may not understand it all, but we know we can put our trust in you. You have been so faithful to us. Church, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now just to continue praying in your seat. I don't know what's on your heart, but I do know this, that our God is a God who loves to communicate and talk with his people. And so whatever you need to give up right now in your life, in your heart, whatever's holding you back from moving all into everything that God has for you, would you talk with the Lord now? We serve a good God. And he loves to listen. And he loves to answer his people.
Hey guys, thanks again for connecting with us today. If you'd like to contribute financially to what God is doing here, or if you'd like to be a part of what God is doing, why don't you check us out online at our website, www.newcommunitychurch.com, or you can check us out on Facebook.